Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of June 27th. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. How are you doing this evening, man?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I didn't have that bad a day at work today, so I'm doing all right.
Well, I was at the ballpark today, which means it was a good week.
So lucky.
It was good, except I didn't get to talk to the people I wanted to talk to. But, you know, it happens.
That happens. That happens a lot sometimes. But luckily, I've been lucky this year. I haven't had too much running and chasing to do, and most of the guys have been great, so I haven't had too much of a problem. All right, on this week's show, we've got an interview with Scott Matheson of the Yomiuri Giants, and we're going to talk about Yomiuri, the Tigers, and we got power tracks, and we got questions. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
Okay, so I went out to Yokohama Stadium yesterday, and I saw you there.
Yeah,
shock
fancy
of
that.
Shocks.
Sorry. Sorry, I apologize for not telling you I was going to be there, but I had another agenda.
Whatever. You keep secrets from me all the time. I'm not surprised.
It's my nature not to tell people what I'm doing, I'm afraid. It's a bad habit.
Yeah, so Yokohama is a long way to go to talk to a Giants pitcher or player. It's kind of backwards, but it just worked out that way. Every time I've gone to Tokyo Dome, I've been talking to opponents, and I've been wanting to get some of the Giants, but it just hasn't worked out that way. So went out to grab Scott Matheson. He's a fifth-year hard
grip. Wow.
Grab him, yeah. Pull him
yeah,
aside.
I know.
Pull him aside. Tie him down.
Indeed.
Lock him up in the back room and start.
Better watch out for that right arm, man.
Yeah, lock him up in the back room and start
interrogating him.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, fifth year hard throwing reliever. He's been on the show numerous times. I personally enjoy his opinions and his candor. He's been striking out a lot of guys. He's having basically the same kind of season he has been the past 4 years and previous, but his numbers are a little bit higher than, like, his strikeout rate is a little bit lower, his walks per nine is up a little bit, K's per nine might be up a little bit, his whip is definitely up higher than it has been in the previous years, but he's still doing great. And I once debated a strategic move that former skipper Tatsunori Hata made. And I was debating him about it, and he ended the conversation by saying, "That's why you'll never be a manager." I mean, he doesn't hold back.
No.
Yeah, he's always, you know, I think we opened in that opening for the 200th episode of JBW, he was part of that, talking about how the Canadian team won the game and won the fight that year that they had in the WBC.
With Mexico.
So
now he and Luis Cruz are teammates.
Yeah, they're best buddies. So the last
don't
time
butt he, on me, buddy.
Don't butt on me. The last time he appeared on the show was during the CLCS last year against the Swallows, and the expression on his face was, "Please don't ask me about my contract status." And you know, I didn't want to because I was focused on the game stuff, and it just seems like he didn't want me to because he's a really honest guy. I mean, he doesn't filter out any of the stuff. He doesn't care who you are. Or maybe it's just the foreign media he's real honest with. I don't know. But, you know, he wanted to be a starter this season. They put him back in the bullpen, and you'll hear him talk about how he was disappointed to have that happen, but that he likes to pitch and that he's still focused on getting the job done. You'll hear how he's worked on his secondary pitches. And he's just a fun interview, so let's listen to what he had to say.
All right, Scott Matheson is joining us. He's with the Giants, and he's a relief pitcher, and it's his fifth year, and he's back with us on JBW. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Thank you very much. Anytime.
All right, now, at the end of the season last year, I spoke to you at Jingu Stadium, and it was the playoffs, and you didn't seem like you knew what was going to be happening for this year. What was going on at that time?
I had, you know, several offers from teams back at home, and, you know, at that time I didn't really hear from the Giants, so at that point I was pretty certain I wasn't coming back to Japan. I had a couple good offers back in the U.S., and, you know, I was really leaning towards that. As much as we wanted to stay here, you know, it all came down to if they were going to make me a, you know, equivalent offer or not.
And how did you end up staying with the Giants?
You know, just before I was actually about to agree with the team back at home, they came and, you know, they asked me what they need to do for me to stay, and you know, I told them I wasn't looking for anything crazy, just, you know, wanted something fair, and they ended up agreeing to a contract pretty much a day before I was about to agree to another deal.
How much were you, like, I guess feelings-wise, how much were you thinking you were going to be going back, you know, to the West?
I was 90% positive that I was gone, maybe even more than that. You know, every year that we've been here, we usually put our stuff in storage for the winter, and last year we shipped everything home.
And I know that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's definitely not cheap. So, you know, I was pretty certain I was going back home. You know, we were really happy to end up staying here, and you know, my wife loves it here. Both my kids are born here and spent, you know, more of their life in Japan than they have in the U.S. So, you know, it was something that I don't think we were ready, really 100% ready to, you know, be over at that point yet. But, you know, we're happy with what ended up coming and staying here.
Okay, great. Good to have you back. Now, you were working in the off season to transition to being a starting pitcher. How did that come about and how did it go?
You know, just looking at the team and the roster, and you know, figured we signed two foreign hitters, and then you know, we had Miles and Pareda, who both had good seasons, and you know, I figured it was a tough spot for me to, you know, if they're going to move anybody, it would be leave the bullpen out because we have a strong bullpen. So you know, I figured one of my best chances was to be as a starter, and you know, I personally thought that I could, you know, be an effective starter and you know, be able to win a job on the team as a starter. And so that's what I asked, and you know, for the team, and they agreed, and they said, you know, go ahead and train as a starter. And so I dropped about 15 pounds in the winter and tried to, you know, increase my stamina, and you know, came ready to be a starter. And you know, I felt like I pitched pretty well in spring training, and was
I thought you did too.
Was you know, hoping to make the team as a starter, and unfortunately I didn't, and they put me back in the bullpen, which I was a little disappointed, but.
How disappointed?
I was definitely disappointed at that point. But, you know, I enjoy pitching. And the bottom line is I want to pitch. So if I'm in the bullpen, you know, I want to be able to pitch. I want to pitch in 60-plus, 70 games. And, you know, so far I'm on pace for that. So I'm happy with that.
So what ended your run as a starter then? They came to you and just said what?
After my last start in preseason, they just called me in and said, you know, you've done well as in the bullpen. And, you know, we want you in the bullpen this year, and you know, we're with Miles going down, you know, you're definitely going to have a spot in the bullpen, and you know, that was about it. It wasn't too much discussion. It was just kind of telling me where I made it, and you know, so I was a little disappointed in that, and you know, being in the bullpen, I felt, you know, I had to put on a little bit more weight and try to get back up to, you know, what I felt was a good playing weight for the bullpen. But you know, at the end, you know, as long as I'm pitching, I'm happy, and you know, if I'm pitching in meaningful games, I'm happy with that.
How does your weight impact your pitching?
For me, I throw a little bit harder when I'm a bit heavier. You know, as a starter, I want, you know, you try to go for longevity, and you know, I was working on a two seam and a change up, and you know, throwing a curveball, so I was throwing a lot of pitches in spring training. And, you know, as a reliever, I really only throw fastball, slider, split, and now I'm throwing a two seam as well. But you know, I want to throw a bit harder. I want to go out in one, two innings and throw as hard as I can. Whereas a starter, you know, I want to stay at the same, you know, velocity throughout the game. So being a little heavier is, you know, helps me throw a bit harder.
Yeah, I was watching one night, and I even tweeted out because you were clowning people with the off-speed stuff and then coming back with the hard stuff. So how did that near transition to starter impact the way you use your secondary stuff?
Like I said, I was working on my secondary stuff a lot more as a, you know, as a starter. You know, you can get through three innings with one, two pitches, but you know, you can't second time through the order, third time through the order, they've already seen it, so you need to have, you know, good secondary arsenal. And, I think just working on my off-speed helped a lot. And also in preseason, I got to work with a Bono coach on sidestep and being fast to the plate, and that's something I had to stretch. This year I've mixed in, you know, I'll go slow and then I'll try to, not quick pitch, but I'll try to, like, a sidestep and, you know, get on a hitter a little bit that way. Mm-hmm. You know, try to keep them off balance, especially guys with leg kicks, so, you know, I think that's helped me.
Okay. All right, well, you're looking good. You're looking good. Now, I talked to Coco Ballantyne earlier this season, or just a few months ago, or a few weeks ago, and he was talking about the ball and how it was playing fair. And I didn't think there was anything going on. I know that the home runs are up in the Central League, but how do you think the ball is playing?
I mean, I've heard that from a couple other reporters asking about, you know, if the ball, you know, is a hot ball or if it's bouncing more this year. And, you know, I personally haven't noticed it. I've given up three home runs this year. And, I mean, two of them are two guys that I never expected to hit home runs and, you know, barely made it over, so... You know, if it is, I'll take that. But, I haven't noticed a big difference. I mean, I feel like the ball has been you know, been pretty much the same as last year. You know, it's definitely, it doesn't seem like it was a couple years ago when they had that juice ball.
Juiced. All right, well, the dry ones.
Yeah.
All right, now the Giants have been beset by injuries, especially to the pitching staff, even before the season started. And this rotation, it's just now Miles is going to make his first start of the year today. Who'd have thought that? But how have you guys been able to make it this far?
I feel like all our pitches have, you know, we have good pitchers. We have a strong bullpen. Unfortunately, you know, some guys haven't gone as deep into games as, you know, I think we would have liked. But, and guys in the bullpen have stepped up. And, you know, it's been hard this year with, you know, we're, I think, last in the league in runs scored. So as a pitcher, you're pitching a lot of tight games. And, you know, that's a little tougher to do. But, you know, I feel like our pitching staff has always been the strongest part of the Giants. And, you know, I think it still is.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of young guys. I mean, Taguchi, Takagi, those guys pitched a little bit last year. They've got some experience. But you guys have been bringing up other guys to do the job, and they've been getting it done as well.
Yeah, and definitely. I mean, I think moving forward, the Giants are going to need, you know, young guys coming up. And, you know, some of the young guys that are in the farm right now, you know, are going to need to step up and, you know, contribute and, you know, show what they have. And, you know, this is a good season for them to do that with, you know, some having some injuries and having more opportunities for them. And, you know, Giants have always had a strong bullpen and strong starting pitching since I've been here. So for 5 years, I think the heart of the Giants have been their pitching. And, you know, hopefully that'll continue.
Now, going back to the idea as a starter, when you were going through a lineup for maybe a second time, even in the preseason, did you feel like they had an advantage, or how did you feel about going up against the lineup another time?
You know, I personally never feel like the hitter has an advantage. I mean, you know, the best hitters in the game are going to fail 70% of the time. So, you know, you watch BP and everybody, you know, they hit pop flies and ground balls in BP, and that, they're just throwing down there. So, pitcher always has an advantage. And, you know, for me, I was just trying to show that, you know, I'm not strictly a fastball pitcher, and I'm not strictly a power pitcher. And getting a little older, you know, I need to mix it up. And being 5 years in the league, you know, if a hitter's not sitting on my fastball, you know, they're not the smartest hitter out there. You know, why would you sit anything else? And, you know, if I can show that I was throwing off-speed pitches and I can throw them for strikes and I can throw them effectively, you know, it's going to make it a lot harder. But, you know, I never felt like the hitters have the, you know, advantage. And, you know, it's always a pitcher's advantage, you know. Pitcher succeeds more than they fail, and the hitter fails more than they succeed.
I agree. All right, you get a lot of work as the setup guy, and whatever your role is, if it's setting up the setup guy, and I know that they change from game to game. It looks like you don't always come out in the eighth inning. But what's your optimum? I heard you here, you said a minute ago, 60 or so. Is that the optimum for you, and is that the optimum for a guy in the bullpen?
I think 60 is kind of a benchmark number for, you know, it seems like in Japan that, you know, that's where you want to hit, and that shows, you know, that you can, you know, you have stamina and you can pitch and you're an effective pitcher. Personally, my goal would be 70 games this year, because that would put me at 300 games in Japan. And, you know, I just feel like that's a nice round number. And I've never thrown 70 games before. I think 65 is my most. So, you know, I always want to challenge myself, and, you know, I like to, you know, I like to pitch. That's why I play. So, you know, if I get to pitch more than I don't, it's, you know, even better.
All right, last question. There were scandals before the season and all this stuff. Did you feel like when you came back there was kind of a cloud hanging over the team a little bit?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, unfortunately, those guys that were part of it, you know, really brought down the Giants, and, you know, were big disappointments for the Giants and, you know, for all the teammates. And, you know, I personally, you know, was disappointed in those guys and, you know, wasn't too happy with hearing what was going on. And, you know, and at least in the U.S., growing up, you know, it's the first day in pro ball, the first thing you hear is about gambling and, you know, the Pete Rose and how, you know, that's the biggest no-no there is in baseball. So, you know, it was definitely a shock, and, you know, it was pretty sad. And we lost, you know, definitely one real good pitcher and a couple other guys that, you know, could help us out. But, you know, it's just hopefully we can move past that. And, you know, there's a lot of good guys on the team that had no parts of that. And it seemed like most of those guys were kind of younger guys that maybe weren't thinking and, you know, weren't mature enough to realize the inflammation, you know, the effect that they had on it.
Right.
And all of baseball here. So, you know, hopefully we move on and, you know, everybody learns from that. And, you know, it's definitely in the past. And, you know, now, you know, hopefully it shows everybody else, all the young guys with all the teams, that, you know, that's something that you don't want to get, you know, caught up in.
Okay, well, you guys are doing a good job of moving past it, and good luck the rest of the way.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
Thanks again, buddy. Appreciate it. So, yeah, he says, if a hitter's not sitting on my fastball, he's not the smartest hitter out there. That's why I love Scott. I root for him to do well. He talked about 300 games for his career in Japan, so that kind of had a closure-esque kind of...
closure-esque? Where'd you
I'm
get
making
that?
Up words, man. I'm
I love it. Actually, I like it, so okay, I'm good. I'm a fan.
Closure-esque kind of tint to it or hint to it, but... I like how he said he's trying to disrupt the timing of guys, too, with the slide step, especially guys who have a leg kick and all that stuff. But what was the thing that stood out for you?
First of all, yeah, I thought it was a great interview. I really liked it. Scott's always one of my favorite players to talk to because he's so frank, as you mentioned. And when he and I disagree, which is like pretty much always.
You're very disagreeable.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment coming from you. I enjoy it because he reminds me in some respect of a former player here, Frank Bolick, who was with the Marines, I believe, for 3 years. And Frank is a really, really smart guy, but he was also very contradictory, always asking questions, always quizzing things, you know, always saying, why is it like this? Why? And it got. He could be irritating. He could be grating. everything had a touch of sarcasm and sort of, you know, biting tone to it that Scott doesn't have.
Right.
But the end result is the same, that when you disagree, you know, you think, why is he disagreeing? What is he seeing? What point is he coming from that he's so vehemently opposed to what I'm saying? And so it causes me to look for other, you know, ways to look at the same issue, which is kind of fun.
Right. Gets a dialogue going, gets the brain going about, you know, why are these things different and why does he think this way? And yeah, I like it too.
So anyway, I loved a couple of things. First of all, I was surprised that he wanted to start because but having said that, I do remember when Dennis Sarfati told him the Giants wanted to sign him when he was choosing between different teams, and they were thinking of making him a starter.
I remember you talking about that.
Right. So that came to mind. So I'm thinking, maybe that was an avenue that was open, but I was surprised to hear it because he's had success where he is, and he had. I noticed this year when he started in the preseason, it had been like 4 years since he started in AAA.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I was surprised to hear that it was his idea as opposed to the team's.
Yeah, I thought it was the team's idea too. Mm-hmm. That was the first I had heard of that because you and I often in the off season are exchanging information about reports and opinions about the different reports we see out there, and I just thought it was the team.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, but that was interesting and his whole take on that. And I guess the other one is Scott. And this is what I love about Scott. The pitcher always has the advantage.
I knew you were going to be all over that. Knew it.
That is so great. You know, I would probably say like more of an advantage or less of an advantage. But, you know, the thing about Scott is, ambivalence is not a word he's familiar with.
That's right. It's black and white, baby.
That's right. And, you know,
and for the hitters, mostly black or white, depending on how you look at things.
Wow. I don't think I want to go. This is a color thing.
No.
Okay. Just checking.
Simple black and white.
Okay. I'll bet that when Wayne Grassick is there with NTV before the game and talking to the foreigners, he and Scott and I will talk sometimes, and we talk about family and kids and things. And Scott likes to cook, and he has opinions about breakfast too, which is fun. And we were talking about breakfast, this is what it reminded me of, is that I bet when he takes his family out to breakfast, I guarantee there is no waffle in his order.
Ha, 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 ha.
Everything's straight. There's not on my plate, baby.
I'm still laughing, see?
I can see it, but I don't really hear it in your voice. But, yeah, so I thought his take on the team was accurate. He seemed surprised that the Giants' offense is bad. Like, I'm going, okay, it's been bad for 4 years now.
Yeah, it has not been great. And, yeah, you know, there's different reasons for that. And, you know, obviously I enjoyed that one comment about if the hitter's not sitting on my fastball, he's not the smartest hitter out there. You know what you're going to get from him, and you know what to expect. It's about the situation. I mean, he lost the game that I went out there on Saturday to watch, and
right.
He ended up being the losing pitcher, and I think it was Elian Herrera
right.
who smacked maybe a slider or some other
kind of ball. 3-2 slider. I know. I was watching that. I'm watching that, and I'm thinking, here's this Herrera guy, and he's thinking, this guy's been pitching in Japan a long time. I bet I'm going to see a breaking ball 3-2.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. But I think the thing that kind of really surprised me was the fact that he said he dropped 15 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a lot of weight for a guy who's around 30 to lose. Mm-hmm. Even if, you know, I was surprised to hear that he pitches that much better with or gets more velocity with the weight on him. Mm. I just had never heard anything like that from a pitcher. I've heard about football players. I've heard about NBA players or basketball players trying to get more weight.
I'd ask Mike Zagurski about that.
Hashtag high heat.
I'm not touching that one.
Okay.
But,
we love you, Mike.
Yeah. But that 15-pound thing, I mean, that really shocked me. And then just trying to gain the weight back and get the velocity up. And, you know, he did talk about the other pitchers. And I thought when he said that, you know, Miles was gone and was injured, and that would open up a spot in the rotation for me. But he said the opposite, that the team wanted him in the bullpen. And that just seemed to me like the team had its mind made up. And they let him go as long as they thought was appropriate, and then they gave him the news. Hey, you're going to be in the bullpen.
Yeah, we didn't.
Because that didn't make sense to me.
We thought it over very carefully for...
Like the whole time.
Well, almost
30 seconds after you told us you wanted to be a starter.
Yeah. And he said, can we get back to you on that? And I said, we'll get back to him. Okay, mind's made up. Just let him try it and then tell him to forget about it.
The other thing about the gambling situation, and usually I try to go through the questions with some of the guys, especially if I'm going to ask anything that's kind of controversial, but I didn't with Scott on this one because I figured the Giants had prepped all their players going into this season about how to deal with questions about the gambling situation or scandal that had gone on. And I figured there was an answer out there. It's just that he probably hadn't had to use it in so long that, you know, he might not come out quickly or smoothly with it. But he was very smooth. And that whole situation, I mean, we've basically forgotten about it right now. I don't think anybody's looking at the Giants that much thinking about the scandal.
Right. It was so much. In fact, I've received some lectures from people in NPB that it's essentially my fault. That not the gambling, but all the noise. And I say not my fault, but our fault, the media's fault. You're a reporter. It's your fault.
Oh, okay. When you said my fault, I'm like, why are they going to a stat head like Jim Allen telling him he's the reason for gambling?
Like, I know the odds, baby. So
I know the odds.
So as we will establish shortly.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically people were coming to me that and saying that it's all the media's fault, and the reason they're making a bigger deal about all this other nonsense is to stop talking about the Giants and start talking about other teams exchanging money between the players.
Well, you know, the one thing I thought – I don't think I mentioned it on the show
before. Well, let's hear it now.
I thought if there was any team that shouldn't be involved in gambling – it was the Giants. But simultaneously, if there's any team that could handle a scandal like that in NPB, it would be the Giants.
Yeah, you would know what the Giants you would know that the Giants wouldn't do what Cebu would do, which would be to actually try and clear, you know, clean house. actually try and clean house and bring in outsiders to investigate, you know, and find out every wrongdoing and then say, you know, that we tried to come clean. Because, you know, the Giants wouldn't do that. They want to come clean in a way that actually doesn't.
Hashtag high heat.
Because when the Lions came clean, the Giants were leading the chorus of saying, what an awful thing you've done.
Right.
Basically kicking them in the butt for doing the right thing.
Right.
These are the, I mean, yeah. I mean, these are the Giants telling everybody about how important it is to be up front. But remember what happened to the Lions. You scoundrels.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think Yomiuri has a pristine image per se, but I just felt like if any organization could handle it from the top down, it would be that one. And,
they have organizational strength in that respect.
Right. And the last thing that really caught my ear from him was the fact that he remembers. Of course, he's only given up the 3 home runs, so it's no surprise that he remembers. But, you know, he knows those guys who he allowed the home runs to this year. Do you know who they are?
Do I have to look?
No, you don't look. You say yes, I know, or no, I don't remember.
No, I don't know. I saw the other day that two of them were like in the last few games, so right. They were interleague home runs.
One of them was Yuichi Adachi, the rookie catcher from Rakuten, his first pro home run.
Wow.
One of them was Brandon Laird of Nippon Ham, who's among the leaders in Japan in home runs.
A surprise there.
No surprise there. And then the other one was Taiga Egoshi of Hanshin.
That's not a surprise either.
But he said two of them he didn't think should be hitting home runs off of him. So I'm assuming Adachi is one and Egoshi is the other. Because,
must be.
And I
must
think,
be, because I know he wouldn't be talking about Brandon Laird.
Yeah, well, you know that, so... Yeah, I just, you know, again, I hope you guys enjoyed that chat, and I really like talking to Scott, and I'm assuming that the Giants are going to make it to the postseason, and we'll get a chance to talk to him again or have him on the show, so.
I guess I would add one thing, you know, about the gambling before we close the book here, and I can't repeat in a family show what he told me the first time he saw me this year. Because I tweeted a joke that was in pretty bad taste.
Okay.
The one about the Giants might change the music they take the field to from the Rolling Stones' Start Me Up to the one by The Who, You Better You Bet.
Oh, I must have missed that tweet. No, I probably saw it.
You saw it?
Yeah, it didn't rub me the wrong way.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny, but he had a harsh reaction. But being Scott, you know, and being, in my experience, most ball players, you know, they get over it. You know, he had a sharp word for me, and then the next time was, hi, hey, how you doing?
That's Scott. Hey, man, we appreciate you being on the show. Thanks a lot. Okay, so let's talk about the Giants a little bit. I'm looking at them there as of Sunday, they are in second place again. So it's like every day you wake up and if you lose, you might be in fourth place. If you win, you might be as high as second place. You know,
right.
The Carp have an 8-game lead over the Giants right now, so it's not like you're going to wake up one day and be in first place. But yeah, I talked to one of the beat reporter, one of the many Giants beat reporters we have. And then another guy joined in, and basically he was saying that the Giants are no good this year. And I said, well, you know, what are your expectations and what are your assumptions? Because the Giants are no worse than any of the other teams that are out there contending for a playoff spot. So why are you saying that they're no good? And he said, well, they don't score enough runs. And I said, yeah, but look at the other teams. They're not scoring a lot of runs either. They might be 20 runs behind the Tigers. I haven't looked at the numbers today. And maybe 20-some-odd runs behind the Dragons and Bay Stars. But all those teams are right at the same win total, around 32 to 33 wins. It's not like anybody's pulling away from anybody. So what's it matter if they're not scoring enough runs? They're winning enough games to be in contention. So what are you assuming and what are your expectations? And I think you might be expecting too much. And the other part is they're going out there, they're running guys out there who weren't in the plans at the beginning of the season to be in the rotation. You know,
right.
Okay, Kazuto Taguchi, you're going to be the guy at the back of the rotation along with Hayato Takagi. But they've had to use guys like Nobutaka Imamura, Yuki Koyama, Jun Hasegawa, remember that guy? He had a start. And Yuki Igarashi. I mean, they've had to just throw guys out there and give them spot starts because they haven't had guys. So this is not the rotation. We were expecting more Aaron Pareda, who's out injured, more Miles Michaelis, who just came back and pitched on Saturday. And although he didn't look all that great, he was still in position to get a win late in that game, and they weren't able to pull it out. Toshiya Sugiuchi is injured, but might be back sometime in August, they said. You know, this is not...
Well, Tetsuya Utsumi has come back, and he's had a long, tough last year and 6 months or so, but he's come back and he's pitched relatively well, so I think there's hope for that.
Hope and
but, you know,
expectations are not
but,
the same.
But I'll tell you, what worries me is not the starting rotation. It's every time I go to a Giants game and I see that Kentaro Nishimura and Tetsuya Yamaguchi are warming up with the other guys.
Those two guys, too, they just haven't been the same.
Well, Yamaguchi actually pitched well yesterday.
He's just been inconsistent.
Right. But pitching well and Tetsuya Yamaguchi are two things you didn't see, you haven't heard a lot this year in the same sentence.
Yeah, he has undergone some decline the past three seasons, I would
That's
say.
That's a kind of way to put it. And Nishimura has gone from being essentially at one point, I think of 2009, being essentially the best pitcher in the Central League to being a guy who you really, who might be rejected by the Yakult Swallows.
Hashtag high heat.
Or the Oryx Buffaloes. Where's she at? But yeah, what are the expectations with these guys? Did they just say, hey, look, this is the kind of class organization, we can just plug anybody in and they're going to get the job? No, those days are gone.
Well,
it's over
that,
with.
Yes, but I think that expectation lives on. That's one. So, yes. As far as the question about the runs, which you mentioned, how what does it matter that they're not scoring as many runs as you think they should when they're winning games? But I think that is an indicator. The Giants have had problems scoring runs. I mean, they've been very fortunate. They've been scraping by, you know, and this luck – and I'm going to call it luck. It ain't. We have the ability to pitch well enough to win stuff. Is it mostly luck?
I agree.
Comes back and bites you. And if you can't establish an offense, it's a bad sign. You know, it's a good sign. You know, I mean, the Carp last year, and I'll go off on a tangent as I do. You know, the Carp last year overproduced. You know, they scored a ton of runs, even though as bad as their offense was, they still scored a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they outperformed, you know, they essentially outperformed Hanshin, but they didn't win as many games, you know, and those things sort of, you know, they were fairly unlucky last year. I mean, they were unlucky in several ways and they were bad in several ways, but it's a good sign as opposed to like the Giants being close to 500 when giving up vastly more runs than you score. That's a problem.
Mm, you think? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a
sustainable. It's where you look at this saying, well, we're winning games, but it doesn't look like we're going to be able to keep winning unless we make some serious changes.
Right. And I was looking at some of the other numbers. The one thing they do really well is they don't strike out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They were way below the league average in strikeouts, but they also don't knock runs in. They were down in RBIs, way below the minimum there, like about 50 runs below. Well, I'm sorry, not the minimum, the average below.
Well, it comes with not scoring runs, is not driving them in. They're sort of related.
Yeah, I get it. So I mean, yeah, they also had an injury, in my opinion, kind of a significant injury, in that Seiji Kobayashi got hit on the shoulder on the 16th when in that Rakuten series and got a broken bone and.
Wow.
He's expected to miss some time. He's going to be gone until sometime in August or something. So they brought out Yoji Aikawa, and he caught Tomoyuki Sugano in that first game of the return to league play on Friday night against the Bay Stars, and he got beat around and got his brains beaten in. And they've got a stable of these kick-around catchers that can throw out there. Kazunari Sanematsu came up and he was hitting, and Ken Kato, and they're going to throw Aikawa back there. Like, and we won't see Shinnosuke Abe. I was told that there's no chance on, you know, this green earth that he'll be out there unless some...
The guy who was going to be the catcher, who was going to catch, ain't going to catch. Because first base was off the table this year. And then they decided, well, anyway, I don't know. I don't want to go into the decisions because I don't quite understand them. But I think here's the thing. Obviously, Kobayashi has gone from being the next big thing because he's got a gun to a guy who shouldn't be catching to now being the next big thing again because he's getting the hang of it, kind of.
Yeah.
And Aikawa, who actually knows what he's doing, but I think it's a case of he hasn't been doing it in so long. You know, some people were saying, Aikawa, boy, what he stunk up the joint on Friday, but he does know what he's doing. He just takes time of getting back in the swing and actually catching a lot of games and seeing what the pitchers have. And I think he's out of practice.
Okay.
So I think that will sort itself out. I think while Kobayashi's gone, Aikawa will take over, and I think he'll do a respectable job because he is a smart guy. He just, needs some time to get back into the swing.
All right, and then I don't really like him defensively. I Abe's just been awful. So Abe's just awful at first base. He's awful. There's just no way around it. And then I watched a little bit of the game today, and Sawamura didn't go over to cover because he thought, I don't know what he thought, but he didn't break over to cover, so he made Abe look even worse.
Yeah, I mean, Miles did that yesterday.
Yeah.
So you mean I have to run straight off the mound? I was like, oh, man, I haven't been pitching in so long, I forgot something.
Right. So they're not that good defensively all around. Obviously I like Sakamoto at short, but he's not great, but he's really good.
No, but he is good. And I'll tell I like him. The more I watch him, the more I like him play shortstop.
Gotcha. So they just have their issues. And yet with all the problems and all the things that they're going through, they're right there in the thick of things. And I think they're going to stay there to the end. Unless they experience more injuries and that doesn't allow them to compete the way the fans and the way the beat reporters assume they're going to compete. Yeah.
Well, of course, the way they assume is they're going to win the league by 10 games because they're the Giants.
Not happening.
Nope.
Let's move on to the Power Track segment. All right, so I talked to Patrick Newman this past week. I don't remember what day it was anymore. It might have been Monday. It might have been Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday in Japan. So he's living out there in Palo Alto. He has moved. He's gotten a new job. So things have been changing.
Oh, good.
I think he moved, but I know he has a new job. So I'm assuming
he had
to move.
Well, it's good because I know the old one was stressing him out something fierce. Yeah. So
let's go ahead and take a listen. All right, joining us for the Power Track segment from Palo Alto, California is Patrick Newman. How's it going this morning?
Oh, you can't complain. How are you?
No earthquakes, no rain, because we always talk about the weather on JW.
we have had a little rain, and I would like a little more, but no earthquakes, knock on wood.
All right, excellent. All right, what do you have for us this week?
So for the top three, there's really only four choices, because there's only four teams at the moment who are above 500 in all of Japan. So SoftBank is the runaway number one team in the country. They've had, I think, 3 8-game winning streaks. They're 44-17 on the season.
27 games over 500 and ready to climb higher.
And teams have to settle for a tie with them. They also lead the league with 5 ties. So, my complaint about them last time was that they weren't getting production from the top of the lineup and not getting enough guys on base for Yanagita. That's changed.
Yeah, they listened to the show. They heard
you. Right after I said that, they put Nakamura in the two hole, and he went into a slump. So they're getting production from Imamiya and Kitokoro in the top of the lineup, and they're looking pretty unstoppable right now. So SoftBank's number one.
Yeah, they were looking pretty unstoppable, especially against the Central League. So we'll see what happens when they get back to playing actual, really good high-level talent.
Well, I think there's something like 14-2 against Oryx and Rakuten combined.
Yeah, well, they're honorary Central League teams. So
yeah, so they keep getting to play them. And if they can pad their record against those guys and just go 500 against everybody else, they'll cruise to the title. So no trouble there.
Okay.
Second, I have Nippon Ham. Nippon Ham doesn't have the second best record in the Pacific League, but since the beginning of May, they have actually won more than Lotte. And I really kind of credited them for having better top line talent than Lotte.
Well, I did too, but Lotte's really good at winning games, and that's really when it comes down to. So.
Ooh. Yeah, but I think over the course of the season, looking ahead, I think that I'm just a bit more of a believer in Nippon Ham's talent than Lotte's. But that said, Lotte actually had fourth, and I think they win with having a high ceiling rather than a high they win with having a high floor rather than having a high ceiling. So everybody on the team kind of does their job. But they've actually only been 500 since the beginning of May, in league play, and then they're 11-6 they're 11-6 in intraleague. Nippon Ham was 10-7, so I kind of gave it to Nippon Ham rather than Lotte. I think that the thing that Lotte really does amazingly well is efficiency. So there's a lot of games when they score 7 runs on 9 hits, or they score 5 runs on 6 hits. And
right.
I need to do some research and find out what percentage of their base runners have scored, because I bet it's the best in the league.
Huh. Yeah, I just know that you're right. They're getting guys on, and when they do get them on, you know, and their sacrifices, I know Jim likes to count up all the sacrifices. I don't think they're sacrificing more than other teams, but the guys they sacrifice seem to be getting home.
Yeah, it works.
When they sacrifice them over, those guys seem to be able to get to home plate. So that's the big thing. They're looking good, man.
And their pitching staff is their pitching staff is a lot better than I thought it'd be. So led by a resurgent Wakui. So yeah, it's a really tough choice top 3 or 4. But I had Lotte fourth, and I gave Hiroshima the third spot. Maybe I just have a soft spot for this team. Maybe I'm still impressed by the time I saw them stomp Yakult back in April. But I think the fact that they made it through Intraleague with a big lead in their league, and they were 11-5 and won in Intraleague, which has always been sort of kind of the death valley for them.
Yes,
in 2014. In 2014, they lost a big lead in Intraleague, and they kept it this year. So I gave them third. So those four teams are the ones to beat.
Yeah, I like Hiroshima. I like what they've been doing. In fact, I would probably, if I were doing the power rankings, would probably have them above Nippon Ham, which means I'd probably have them third and Nippon Ham fourth, just because the Fighters just have not looked great recently. In fact, they lost 2 out of 3 to Chunichi over the weekend, and they didn't look good doing it in that first game where they only, you know, they got shut out, and they only won the Ohtani game, so I didn't, and they barely won that when they brought the bullpen in. They almost blew it. If they hadn't scored extra runs late, they would have lost that game. So I don't like what I'm seeing from them lately. But the Carp and Seiya Suzuki, he just was hot all through interleague play, and you know, they look really good.
Yeah, can't argue that. Suzuki is kind of, for me, he's come out of nowhere. He's a guy I knew nothing about this year, and he's been super impressive. Against in that series against Yakult that I was in the stadium for, that he was good in both those games too.
And I'm also surprised, you know, you just kind of made light of the fact that the Carp didn't take a dive in interleague like they usually do. But I was really surprised that they were able to come up. Of course, they were playing Oryx in that final interleague series, and that always helps. And you know, they got down by 4 runs I think in that last game, and then came back to win 5-4. And again, Seiya Suzuki hits the home run. So he had 2 consecutive games where he hit walk-off home runs, and then he hits a home run third game that ends up being the game-winning hit. So what a weekend for him, and what a weekend for the Carp, and a good run for them.
Yeah, indeed.
What about at the bottom of the other side of the equation here?
So in 10th, I have Rakuten. You know, they've struggled this year. I was going to put them higher in the list and look at one of the other options for 10th, just because they've brought things together and they played reasonably well in interleague. But they really had a rough month since the last time we spoke in league play.
Yeah.
So they're 10th. Again, a lot of things I like about this team, a lot of young talent. I think that they should be looking to Lotte as a model for what they could become, but they're not there yet. In 11th, I have Yakult. You know, so the lineup, you know, the lineup has been phenomenal, and I think they'll get even better if Hatakeyama can contribute anything this year. But they're just giving up too many runs, just simple as that. And I don't know where the pitching is going to come from on that roster. So
can you throw a little bit, you know?
No.
Because I already put my I'm sending my papers in to Rakuten, see if I can catch on with the Eagles and throw in their bullpen.
Yeah,
so otherwise I'd offer my services. But
I might donate a ligament to Tatayama, but no, if I throw there, you would want to see Naruse probably.
Oh, great.
And if, you know, last year Yakult won the championship by stringing together a bunch of starts from guys like Yamanaka and Tatayama and Roman. And I don't see how they're going to be able to do that with the guys they have this year. It's a shame that lineup is going to waste, but I don't see them competing with the rotation that they have and the bullpen they have.
All right, and I guess it's no guess which team you have at the bottom there.
Yeah, Oryx. And for Jim, I made a conscious effort to look for some bright spots in Oryx, and I came up with three, and those are Tio Okada, Matsuba, and Yoshida. Although I don't really enjoy watching Yoshida pitch, I can't argue with the numbers. Okada in particular, it's nice to see him having two good years in a row, and I think this could be a career year for him.
Man, that team, they get behind early, they give up leads late, they don't get big hits, they don't get clutch pitching, they're just really good at losing.
Yeah, I can't argue that. It's really hard to believe that this is a team that won more games than SoftBank just 2 years ago.
And these teams that I picked, you know, for surprises, they're just killing me. They're just making me look bad. But hey, that's life.
Yeah, that's why we do this, right?
I can make myself look bad. I don't need any help from you guys.
I had Yomiuri finishing first, and I think Hiroshima finishing fifth.
Well, it's a long way to go. It's a long way to go. But we are out of time here. We appreciate you taking the time this morning. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next month.
Always a pleasure. I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks. All right, thanks again, Patrick. Excellent work.
Thank you.
So what can we say? I'm surprised. I mean, it's no shocker about the teams at the top, but I'm really looking at the Carp and how they turn things around against the PL this year. And there's still a long way to go, but you look at the interleague standings and you see most of the CL teams got clobbered, but they were right there. They had a 6-game winning streak to end interleague.
Mm-hmm.
And they've won three in a row coming out of interleague, so they've got a 9-game winning streak, their longest since 1998. They're 14 games over 500, the first time in almost 20 years or something. I don't know. It's crazy. They're having, you know, we heard all this stuff last year, and they didn't make the playoffs. And it's been the first time since, you know, 1990 whatever, since they had been in first place after this date and all kinds of stuff, and they still
did. Well, everybody was in first place last year.
Whatever. You know, it's still a long way to go. So what would you like to comment on in terms of the power ratings?
I guess my one is the comment, the little throwaway comment about Seiya Suzuki, you know, and what a shot, you know, what a surprise he is. And
throwaway comment, was it? You mean want to throw it away?
It was a little bit, you know. I don't want to, you know, first of all, I don't want to belittle what people say off the cuff in unscripted dialogue, because first of all, it's really hard to do. I used to really, you know, take umbrage with what people said on the radio or on television when they said stupid things. But, you know, your job is to have your mouth open and things coming out, you know, and sometimes it's not always pretty.
Right.
Sometimes it's not always the most intelligent thing. You can't take it back because you're live. So, you know, slack needs to be cut. So here's, you can hear this, that sawing sound, and you hear in the background is slack being cut.
I don't have any sound for that, and even with my mouth, I okay, got nothing for you, buddy.
Yeah, okay, well, John's jaw is slack right now.
Slack jaw. All right.
Okay, so anyway, but I did want to comment about Seiya Suzuki being such a surprise. And I was thinking, I wrote somewhere last year. I wrote something at the beginning of last season. I picked him, and I think the comment was not that he's one of the best minor league players, because he wasn't in that group. But before the start of the 2015 season, he was one of the guys I picked as a possible rookie of the year in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't surprised that he's done well this year. So people calling him a surprise is a surprise to me. Now, John and I have been going over this, texting back and forth on this issue, so I won't bore you too much. But I will just dig up a couple of things. One is that Seiya Suzuki had kind of an unusual minor league career so far. And when he had his best year, and I think it was 2014 when he was a 19-year-old, the most similar minor leaguer to him in recent memory was Tsuyoshi Nishioka.
As a comp?
Yeah.
In terms of quality. Okay.
Yeah, it's hard to do because he's not limited playing time and so on and so forth. Now, there are a bunch of people who are also comparable, but they never got playing time. So you really can't say there's a bunch of people who are probably good enough to play, but at this being Japan, they just get, they get left in the farm team forever.
Right.
He isn't one of those guys that's so good that like a Takeshi Yamasaki or Iwamura or Ichiro Suzuki, that he's going to get time to play eventually, sooner or later, because he's just so good that eventually someone's going to find him a job. He wasn't that good. He's in a group of people who like Tsuyoshi Nishioka, who was good but not outstanding. Okay, so anyway, that's where I was surprised he wasn't as good as I thought he was, because I picked him to be a rookie of the year. Now, John posted something and I missed John's tweet about Seiya Suzuki.
Okay.
The one where you said you used a joke about his spiritual gambling or something, selling his soul to the devil or something, mortgaging his soul to the devil.
Yeah, I made some reference to him having sold his soul or something like that.
Yeah, and I mentioned that with a different player, and John said, "Don't steal my line."
My material, man. Get your own.
I was off that day. I wasn't looking at Twitter. So anyway, we'll go on about that in a little bit. But I did like Suzuki before that, and we'll comment when we move along further.
Okay. All right, well, thanks again, Patrick. That was good stuff, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next month. Now, I did want to talk about the Tigers very quickly and touch on them, because it occurred to me that they're doing pretty well considering the confusion they spewed in the preseason about...
Spewed! John's brought out the S word.
The Sputoon is out. they said they were going to reload, essentially, while rebuilding.
Yeah, they were going to win while rebuilding.
And, you scoffed at it. I scoffed at it. We talked about how
there's a lot of scoffing going on.
Scoffing of everything. Yeah, but I think this is a successful project they've got going on out there in Hyogo Prefecture. And I think rookie skipper Tomoaki Kanemoto, the Jedi mind tricks that he was using on the media, he's now shifted over to the team.
Jedi mind tricks. Yeah, okay. Well, I think that I think I was confused by a lot of things he said, but the reporters who told me, who were at fall camp last year, said he was pretty clear about what he said. It just sounded garbled in the media. I think people were filtering it out, and some of the reporters were making fun of some of the things he said, and that's the message the rest of us got. But I talked to Tom O'Malley, and when John mentioned this topic a couple of days ago, I was thinking, haven't we talked to it about it before? But that was a chat I had with Tom O'Malley, and basically he said the interesting thing about the Tigers this year is all the young guys who are coming up from the minors.
Right.
And now the key to that, according to Tom O'Malley, is Masayuki Kakefu, the Tigers farm manager, who was a front office guy, who was a former star who's basically been lobbying to be Tigers manager for the last 15 years. He's down there, and he and Kanemoto have a very good relationship. And he's basically saying, this guy's ready to go now. This is the adjustment he's got to make.
Right.
You know, so they've got a plan to bring these guys. And all Kanemoto has done is bring up one guy after another who's an outstanding minor league player and giving him playing time at the first team and then sending him back down for I guess, extended playing time. I don't know what the overall big picture is, but he's gotten great production out of these guys, and this is so un-Hanshin Tigers.
Yeah, and I remember when Kanemoto took over, and he was telling us that guys like Naomasa, Yokawa, you know, Taiga Egoshi, and Shintaro Yokota, those were going to be the main guys this year, and that's not what's really happening. And then they went out and drafted Shun Takayama, the super rookie in the first month, who has slowed down since. He's got to get used to the pace of all playing all these games and making constant adjustments and all that stuff. But the young guys they brought up and the young guys they didn't expect, I think Fumiya Hojo was one of those guys. Huh? I think Fumihito Haraguchi was one of those guys, yep. Although he's not all that young, right?
He's 24, and he's basically – but he's the couple of interesting – I'm going to give you the list.
Okay.
These are the guys under 27 who basically are getting a lot of playing time this year for the first time. 21-year-old infielder Fumiya Hojo. He's a second-round draft pick in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
21-year-old outfielder Shintaro Yokota, number two pick in 2013. He started the season in the starting lineup.
Right.
22-year-old outfielder Yutaro Itayama.
Mm-hmm.
He was the number six draft pick this last. He's a rookie, number six last autumn. 23-year-old outfielder Taiga Egoshi, number three, 2014. 23-year-old Shun Takayama, we've talked about him, number one draft pick last year. 24-year-old catcher Fumihito Haraguchi, who was the player of the month. This guy was really off the radar. They didn't have a uniform for him when they signed him. He started the season on a developmental contract. He was a sixth-round draft choice in 2009, and he's bounced between the farm team and as a farm regular and a developmental roster contract guy.
Wow.
And he was the player of the month in May. He can really rake. The 24-year-old infielder Naomasa Yokawa, who was the number three draft pick in 2013. Now I'm going to throw – most of these guys have been pretty good. Most of these guys have been very good on the farm team. And I'll throw one other thing, and John will know what I'm talking about. I did a study about 12 years ago, maybe not that long ago, 10 years ago, about the birth month.
Birth month, yes.
Right. And I found basically that the guys who are born in January, February, and March tend to produce more on average, no matter in each draft class, than the people drafted in the same rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So the high school guys who were born in February, it's a fairly complex thing, and it does hold out in other measures and other more research I've done on it. And three of these guys are the Haya Umare, born in March, and that's Haraguchi, Taiga Egoshi, and Itayama. Uh-huh. These guys tend to have more growth potential than guys who are – the rest of the guys are normal. Most of them are born April to July. But three guys out of, you know, seven or eight, that's a huge number in Japan because there's very few people drafted in March who are born in March. I mean, it's a very tiny number.
Interesting stuff. So I think they're doing really well. And, at some point we want to look at the rookie managers and talk about them. So I'd have to give Kanemoto a big thumbs up for the work he's doing in getting these young players out there, getting them
yeah.
to produce, and then not sitting on them when they start to fall, and get them back into the farm and get them on an everyday situation where they can play.
Yeah,
get those games under their belt. So I applaud the whole organization.
I think they're doing a I think they have a plan. You know, it speaks to me as much as he didn't have a plan for some things about the bullpen or had an inflexible plan about the bullpen and game stuff like that. This is a huge thing. This is team building. You know, this is something the Tigers have been tremendously bad at in the past, and they look really good. So I think there's a really, you know, regardless of where they are in the standings right now. And I would also say the same for the way he's brought up some of his young pitchers. You know, Iwazaki, I mean, what did they do before autumn camp last year? Says, here's the book. This is what a changeup is. Practice it, learn it, come to the season ready to throw a changeup, because all these young Iwasada and also Iwazaki,
yeah,
has got a heck of a changeup too. And his changeup is so good now that when he was pitching and I saw the Iwa in his uniform, I thought it was Iwasada. So it's like, you know, here's a video of Shun Wakamatsu, study show, look what he does. You can do this too. You know, it's not rocket science. And these guys came up with changeups and bam. So they got a pitching staff where they didn't really quite have one before.
Yep. All right, a few notes. The Ryuma Kidokoro phenomenon that occurred in interleague play was rewarded by him getting the MVP after batting 415 and hitting five home runs and doing all the damage that he did against the Central League. You know, I always thought of him as a guy who lugged more leather than lumber, but he was really bopping in Central against the Central League. So it was a great stretch for him. I think one of the announcers on the radio said he just took advantage of inferior Central League pitching, but I don't think it's that easy.
I don't think it's that easy too. And I'll tell you how weird it is and why it's interesting. And this is the guy I made the comment about, without knowing John's comment about Seiya Suzuki. I said that he's, you know, what's an explanation for this? Because I calculated based on his previous performance in the minors, which is like 1,300 minor league at bats,
mm-hmm.
which is sizable. And I think 400 or 500 first team at bats. If he, all of that combined, all of that past experience,
mm-hmm.
let's say, what are the chances that a guy would come up after playing so long with so much of a track record, come up and in 92 at bats get like 36 hits? The chances are 0.55%. Now, when John said I used that comment about Seiya Suzuki, I was outraged because Suzuki's like, okay, he's hitting 310 this year, but he's basically an established 280 hitter when he was, you know, for a guy, 280 including the time when he was coming out of high school.
This truly came out of nowhere, which is it.
Yeah, yeah. The chances of Suzuki doing, you know, hitting for average like he is about 20%.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, so if he's, let's say he's essentially an established 280 hitter, there's a good chance he'd be a 260 hitter this year, even if, you know, so this, he could be well within his performance range, but the chances are that Kidokoro is the hitter we've seen for 11 years to do this. Somebody said small sample size, but when it's 0.55%,
right.
I'm thinking something has happened here. Now, he might actually, what I'm saying is he's probably made some adjustments that are going to make him closer to a 250 hitter.
Right.
Which makes this feasible, because right now it's not feasible.
No, no, it's not.
So I was astounded by that. It was just a freak show.
Yeah, it was. Okay, and Kosuke Fukudome of the Hanshin Tigers reached his 2,000th hit combined in Major League Baseball and mostly in NPB, because he only had 490 hits, 98
hits. Don't knock 498 hits.
I'm not, because I didn't think he had that many in the big leagues.
Hey, well, you know what? We were on the desk. We were perplexed the other day when the Kyoto News Sports Department said that Fukudome was the sixth Japanese player to get 2,000 hits combined.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because of this, there's one ringer. I mean, there's some obvious ones. Ichiro Suzuki, okay? Ichiro Suzuki, Hideki Matsui, Kazuo Matsui, Iguchi.
Tadahito Iguchi.
Yeah, four guys who are pretty obvious. And now we've got Fukudome, who had 500 hits, so a quarter of his pro hits are in the majors. But the other guy is sort of like, yes, Norihiro Nakamura, because he had 5 hits with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yes.
And 2 of them were doubles, so.
Interesting, but yeah, he got this little infield hit on Saturday, and it was towards second base, and usually Yosuke Kikuchi gobbles a ball like that up and turns it into an out, but he got to the ball easily. He just couldn't field it and make the throw, and I thought, well, geez, for Kikuchi, that's an error.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's, for me, it's a gold glove play, but for him, it's an error.
Yeah, so for a guy, it depends on who you hit the ball to. You know, most guys wouldn't have even gotten that far in front of the ball to make a play on it. And here's Kikuchi going too far, going almost past the ball and not able to pick it up and making it out. So unfortunately, it turned out to be his 2,000th hit combined. But hopefully when he gets number 2,000 in Japanese baseball, it'll be a home run or something like that. But yeah, everybody talked about how nice his swing was, which we discussed last week. And congratulations to him. He's really working hard. At 38, 39, he's very productive, and I hope he can keep it up.
I'll tell you one of the things. Somebody was asking me who had the best arm in Japanese baseball, and I asked him, and I said, except for you, who uh-huh. has the best arm in Japanese baseball?
Yeah.
And he went like, oh, except for me. I
except
love it.
For me.
Yeah. And I said to him, no, we're not talking about April.
All right. Now, one quick note. I tweeted this out yesterday, but at the end of play on Saturday, Tetsuto Yamada of the Yakult Swallows was in first place in every statistical category that matters in the Central League. Just so you know.
Oh, you mean runs, average, and RBIs? Because they're the only ones that matter in NPB.
No. Batting average, home runs, RBIs, hits, stolen bases, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, runs scored, total bases, doubles, and walks. That's all.
That's pretty liberal of you to mention that people actually lead the league in that, because NPB is sort of like a run scored. Well, let's not talk about that. Walks, no thank you. So it's RBIs, it's home runs, it's batting average.
It's
we're good.
Stuff, yeah. I tweeted
and no pitchers hitting.
I tweeted out he should just go to the big leagues tomorrow, because he's doing himself no good, no favors by staying here. All right, we have the Shohei Ohtani number of the week from Jim Allen.
Yeah, I was thinking that today Shohei Ohtani pitched well, and he batted well. So today was the fifth game in which Shohei Ohtani has been the starting pitcher and batted in the lineup. Mm-hmm. Starting on May 29th, a couple of days before Interleague, when he did it against Rakuten. And this is today was the third time in which the fighters said no thank you to the DH so that Shohei Ohtani could bat. Now with Shohei Ohtani batting as a starting pitcher, before they tried this little experiment that somebody was trying to get a credit for a week ago, the fighters scored 4 runs a game in his starts. They allowed 3.78 runs per game in his starts. Okay? Almost a wash.
Right.
Since they decided to let him hit and pitch in the same days, you know, forget the DH, 6.75 runs per game scored, 1.75 runs allowed per game.
You think
he's going to... Yeah, you think they need to give him a rest?
Thank you, Mr. Murakami, for helping enlighten Mr. Kudayama about how to what to do with his DH when Ohtani's pitching.
Yeah, where to stick the DH.
All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, I don't know how much time we're going to have here, so let's zip through as quickly as we can. This one comes from Stuart Miller via Twitter. He says, what is your favorite MPB game that you have watched live? Hashtag high heat. And by watching live, I'm assuming he means in person.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of games live.
As opposed to tape. My best MPB game was taking my mom. To see the Hankyu Braves play the Nippon Ham Fighters at Korakuen Stadium in 1987.
Wow.
in which Boomer Wells hit into a double play, and the kid behind me was telling his dad, "Dad, foreign players are so slow."
I remember that story.
So that was my favorite moment, taking my mom to the ball game in Japan.
Jeez, I don't know. I have too many. I can't pick one.
It's hard.
I remember the game the Fighters scored on a close play in the 2006 playoffs to beat SoftBank. Tomoya Yagi started that game for the Fighters, and he was Rookie of the Year that year. I remember.
Didn't always pitch for the Dragons.
I remember the game Masahiro Yamamoto pitched a no-hitter.
You were there.
I was there at that
game. Your microphone was on TV, man. We were going, there's John.
That was in 2007 when the Dragons won the pennant. Another 2007 game was the perfect game that Daisuke Yamai started in Game 5 of the Japan Series at Nagoya Dome. Then there's the Coco Ballantyne game 3 years ago where he tied Sadaharu O's single season homer record and hit number 55, and I was at the game and I was walking in front of the dugout and out pops Coco Ballantyne and the cameras start going off and the flashes start going off. The TV cameras are there and I was on TV a little bit, and of course I busted out the tape recorder to get some early comments. Right. I mean, there's just too many.
And people for days were asking if you were Ballantyne.
No,
okay,
no, no. So there's just too many. I can't decide. Next question is from Bill Thompson via Twitter. And he says, for someone new to NPB, how does Interleague work? Is it its own thing or is it part of the rest of the season?
It's in between. it is its own thing. Somebody was asking why they had all these days off last week, and that was to make up the interleague games before the regular the league play resumed. So right. In that sense, it is its own thing. It's self-contained. It's there's no intermingling of games like in the States. But the standings all count for the regular season. So, and it works now I'll just say how it works now. Each team plays 18 games, three against all six teams in the opposite league. Nine of those games are at home, nine are on the road, and every year the home road assignments switch.
Okay. I refer to it as an interleague session. The games, as Jim said, count, and they're just as important as the games in April and September. And I understand the confusion because it seems like they aren't real games in a way, because teams use that period to give, let's say, new players or different players opportunities.
Well, I think that's especially in this. Well, that's either A, in the Pacific League, because they think they can throw anybody at the Central League and beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the Central League, like, we're going to lose anyway, so let's see what these minor leaguers can do. They can't be worse than the guys who are here already.
Hashtag high heat.
You know, and I always used to think that they were trying to deceive the opponents by throwing out guys that they probably hadn't done a lot of homework on. But, you know, when it gets down to it, you can play or you can't play. You know, you can get guys out or you can't. So you bring up some fringy guy who they don't have a lot of data on. They don't have a lot of background on. But, you know, when it gets down to it, can he hit a fastball or can he get a fastball by a batter or not? You know, and that's what it comes down to. So I understand the confusion and the questions, but they're regular season games. They all count on the schedule. And it's just an opportunity for fans to see teams from the other league at their home ballparks. All right, we have another question that's really good, but we're going to have to hold it over till next week. We appreciate you guys listening. Anyone else who has questions, please send them to ykyujohn@gmail.com. Tweet us at #highheat at JBW Podcast, or you can go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. Look for us on iTunes, and we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
Thanks for listening.